AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back, Fire Tribe. Monday, what's the date? August 25th, it's Monday. The Liverpool game has just ended a few hours ago. So that is the official end of game week two. Boys, before we go any further, how'd you guys do this weekend? Just in life. Not in FPL, in life, how'd you do?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Madrid won, so pretty happy about that.
Hala Madrid.
Must be nice to have your team play good and win.
Oh, don't worry, Dave. We'll talk about it.
Disappoint you. We'll talk endlessly.
Plenty of time for Man U slander.
Plenty of time. We're recording this on Monday. We're going to try our best to make this our new time slot. So what that means is we're going to try and get these videos out on Wednesdays. That way we give you Wednesday, we give you Thursday, and we give you a little bit of Friday to watch the video, hear what we have to say, and make decisions based on it, right? We want to give you as much time as possible. So we're going to try that. What else? Anything else in the run-up here? I don't think there's any house cleaning items other than that.
No more house cleaning.
Housekeeping. All right, we're moving this new episode format. We're gonna mix it up here. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start every week with our Fireside Mini League. We're gonna do an update of the Mini League. Yes. Who's in first? How did we do? Yes. That's Phil's job. Every week we're doing this. So without any further ado, Phil.
You finally got a job.
Start us off.
I'm so important.
The update.
So yeah, if you hadn't heard on other episodes, we have a Mini League, the Fireside Mini League, and whoever wins it gets $200. So when we go through this, this could have been you. But Sean's pulling this up. It should be somewhere on the screen.
If it's not on the screen, then apologies to everyone. It should be there, though. We should be rocking.
So first of all, we're going to start off with the standings. Our very own Fireside Sean is in first with 129 points total.
Bang.
More or less average game week, probably on the higher side compared to what a lot of people out there experienced with a lot of players blanking.
My game week this week, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I ended up over the average by, you know, like 10. So.
Yeah. Can't complain. We have Fireside Dave in fourth, and then yours truly, Fireside Phil, in seventh. I did drop positions this week in the league and obviously overall because I had an absolutely horrendous week. That's where we're on the standings. And one shout-out for, what's this guy's name, Ryan Brumbaugh. Don't know who he is, part of the community. He wanted to join. He had 78 points total. Obviously led by Timber. I'm assuming he's an Arsenal fan. I don't know, but started Timber, Lewis Skelly. So, yeah, Gyökeres. I'm assuming he's an Arsenal fan, but great call from him to start him. And, yeah, he had the highest points of the week. So this is the standings. We'll flash them every week just so you get a feel on how we're doing, how our game weeks look like, and who kind of popped off.
My goodness, that's a lot of red on that roster.
That's a lot of red. Did you pull
roster.
It up on the screen?
I just pulled it up. The entire roster's red.
Even Sar kind of has a little bit
He's
of that red.
He's got some red on there. That's hilarious. Hey,
yeah, so.
Good on you, Ryan. Good on you for the 78 points. Great week.
Good on you, pal. But, yeah, that's how we're doing. It was kind of a weird game week. A lot of blanks again, but, hey. We move on.
Cole Palmer getting hurt in warm-ups.
Cole Palmer.
It's always fun.
Cole Palmer getting hurt in warm-ups.
Actually, all right. Helped me, but.
All right, so that was good. We'll do that every week, like you said. We'll get a little more in-depth.
We'll bring you
less in-depth. It all depends on what we're feeling that week. Okay, time to get into Old Faithful here. Topics and transfers. Oh, it didn't go back. There we go. I sent it back. I'll get better at that. You know, it's a lot of things going on, screen up, screen down, whatever.
Dad brain.
You're in first. You can make
I can do that. All right. Time for topics and transfers.
It's time for topics and transfers.
All right, topics and transfers. So I'm going to start us off with some of the big topics of the weekend, and then I'll pass it over to Dave to hit us with the transfer talk. And when I say transfers, I mean FPL transfers. Now, we're out of the actual transfers, real-life transfers, and we are into FPL transfers on the week. So let me get the old glasses on because I'm old. And let's move on. So Dave mentioned it. Around 600,000 managers are going to relate to this one. Cole Palmer pulled from the lineup prior to the game. We don't know what that injury is yet. Maresca doesn't seem overly concerned. Palmer was on the bench. There's not a lot of news yet. We'll see what they say. But I guess first and foremost, are either of you concerned about the injury first and then concerned about the fact that Chelsea looked really good without him?
I'm not concerned about the second thing. Okay. I'm concerned about the injury.
Okay.
Yeah, Maresca, it is a groin, he said, by the way.
That's not
good. I was searching for if there's any update. There was one outlet that I have no idea is reputable. So if you're in the UK, the Pride of London is what it's called.
That can't be a thing, right? There's a lot of teams in London, so.
But someone, whoever they are, hypothesized that it was going to be in the 4 to 6 week range. Whoa. That just feels made up. So
that seems crazy.
The international break is next week, too.
So that seems like someone who saw that we have Palmer on our team.
Yeah, trying to scare us.
They're trying to scare us. That's some bullshit.
But, you know, it did open the door for, I'm going to say it wrong, Estevao
is the Burnley guy.
You're right. Estevao, the Chelsea wonderkin, came in. Looked pretty good.
Looked fantastic. Looked
pretty good. So that's going to be interesting to see where he starts to fit in to this roster now that, he's proven he can play. So, that's that. We'll wait to see what happens with the news. Keep your eyes out this week if you have him on your team, like 60% of owners do.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes out there. Next, we're going to keep the bad news rolling. Arsenal.
Great.
I just do not know what the owner of that team did to get cursed this way. They lost Odegaard. Looked like a bad shoulder, right? He went down really hard on that shoulder. From what I read, they are going to be getting, whether it's x-rays or MRI, either today or tomorrow. So we're going to find out what's up with that. Saka, 3 to 4 weeks with a hamstring. The same injury he has suffered before. You hate to see that. That's really bad for him. Obviously, this is all on top of the fact that Havertz is basically done for the season. This team is just... And they have better depth this year, but my God, this team is getting wrecked.
They got Eze because Havertz got hurt.
Yeah. So that's where the question was going to go, right? So first and foremost, if you have Saka, you hear 3 to 4 weeks, is he dropped? Is he just an instant drop this week for you?
You have to.
First of all, I don't know.
Three game weeks, right?
They said 3 to 4 weeks. That was the first.
Well, but there's international.
There's an international break. Yeah. That's why it's not an auto drop for me because I was reading today, like the early indications are it's not as bad as we thought for him. So he's going to probably miss this weekend's game, but then he gets the break. I would try to hold him if he can to see if he comes back after the international break. But if you want to transfer him out, their schedule is pretty bad. Over the next like 4 or 5
Liverpool's
weeks,
their next game,
up until like game week 8, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get to this in the transfers. He's pretty high up on the transfer out list, and I think it makes sense. But I don't think he's an automatic drop, though.
And then, not to get too deep into this one, because we'll talk about it a little later, but massive chance for Eze, right?
The Odegaard injury and this, yeah.
This is now a massive chance for him. So we're all agreed there. We'll get into that one later for sure. And then last question on this: Palmer, Saka, both out. Who is the immediate target in your guys' mind?
Semenyo!
He's one of them.
Okay. Semenyo!
I don't know why you're saying that.
I think Mohamed Kudus is the other obvious one.
Okay.
He's looked good for Spurs. Their schedule's really good. I don't want to spoil later, but I think Matheus Cunha should be. Yeah, should we'll be one of the targets later, as well.
Yeah. No worries, no worries. I just want to lead in a little bit. All right, last piece of news we have to talk about it. The game just ended. Liverpool-Newcastle, first of all, banger of a game. Liverpool won 3-2. They scored in the 101st minute. That's probably going to be the only time we see 11 extra minutes all season, I would think. That was insane, but crazy game. Isak still out. Gordon got a red card. That stinks. Do we think Isak's going to be – what do we think? There is – what is it? September 1st is a deadline, so that's right before game week 4. Actually, there's an international break, so that's game week
– yeah, it's before game week 4.
Yes, yeah, so what do we think? Is he going to be playing this season? Is he going to be out for 4 months? Are they going to trade him? Any feelers from you two?
I think it's just speculation at this point because it's gone so chaotic.
I bet he comes back after the international break and plays for Newcastle.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to Liverpool at this point.
I like that prediction. And yeah, I don't want to get too deep into the game.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Because we are going to discuss some of those players in the player picks, so we'll save it for that section. That's the big news I had, though. So, Dave, transfers.
I think there's a number of big talking points this week. If we start with the ins, the number one in is João Pedro, which I thought everybody already owned him. So the fact
everyone traded him out after that first game, Dave. Come on, what are you talking about?
He's still like in the mid-50s, but yeah, three returns for him, a goal and two assists. Hopefully Chelsea can just play West Ham every week. But yeah, he's the highest owned forward for a reason. Their fixtures are still pretty good. A little bit more mixed over the next 4 weeks or so, but that makes a lot of sense. My boy Antoine Semenyo is on the list as well.
He should be.
Another assist. Phil and I were talking before we started, like all of Bournemouth's chances are just kind of like falling to him right now. I would like a few for my guy Evan Nielsen,
so
please,
I.
Antoine.
I would like that too.
But yeah, like we just said, one of the better alternatives to Palmer and Saka if you have them. Some others on the list, a couple of the Tottenham guys, Brennan Johnson, Mohamed Kudus, they looked great against Man City and a great schedule coming up, like I said. Richarlison is on there as well. I still wonder how long he's going to be the first choice. Yeah, I wonder if he has like an off game or two if Solanke goes back in.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Chris Wood is in there.
Christopher.
No, not nearly as involved as he was in game week one, but they get West Ham, who...
Back on the wood train, boys. We're back on the train. Get him. No.
Go. Oh, yeah. That's what I was about to say, Phil. They get West Ham this week and then Arsenal, but Burnley and Southampton after that. So three of their next four are fantastic matchups. And then... one here that makes me a little sad in a way is Jurrien Timber is on the list because he scored twice. And I had him in my team game week one. Yeah, you can't just Kawhi Leonard me all the time.
It's bad.
And I sold him. Close. I sold him because he didn't start against United in game week one. So I was planning on bench boosting and then I changed my whole strategy. So I sold him and of course he has like 28 points. Anyway,
imagine if you had him, your week would have been outrageous. You had Chalaba. Who else do you have that did really well? You had another guy who popped off, too.
Well, you had Munoz.
I had Danny Munoz. He did well, Sar. But yeah, you know, Munoz didn't have 25 points.
So. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
Great.
Classic set pieces for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Did Rice get the assist?
He did get one, yeah.
Yeah, like he... It's an interesting guy for me.
What else do we got? Anything else, Dave?
We're over to the outs. So, I mean, we already mentioned Palmer and Saka, and we'll get to who we think you should replace them with, so I'm going to skip over them. Frimpong's still on there. He's still hurt. If you have Ray and Ait Nouri, he came out early in the first half in the City game. Pep doesn't seem too concerned, and he said he still might be ready to go this weekend, but there's been no updates. So
he's sitting at 75% if you pay attention to what the FPL site says.
No idea how accurate that is.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Keep an eye on it. Ollie Watkins is on here. Villa have just looked so blah to start this season.
No, I'm aware. That's why I don't have any of them.
I still find it interesting.
You have Konta.
Well, he plays defense. So.
I still find it interesting that he's on here because their schedule over the next 5 weeks is really good. I mean, they've got Everton, Sunderland, Burnley in there. I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma with Villa assets like him and Morgan Rodgers.
I don't know. To me, like, this is just my personal opinion. They're both good, but one, like, they don't instill confidence in me like other players do. So, like, if I put them in, I don't feel like I should get a return on these guys. Like, I'm hoping for a return. It was the same thing last season until closer to the end of the season. It's like you're really hoping you get something. You're not assuming. Whereas, like, if I put Haaland in, maybe he doesn't get something, but, like, I assume he's going to get something. I understand the price range there is very different.
Yeah.
But you can say the same thing with Gyökeres. I assume I'm going to get something from him versus Watkins. I'm like, really, I really hope he scores today. That's my feel on it. I don't know if that's other people's, but that's where I come at it from.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I have Morgan Rodgers. I think I have some other stuff I have to do. Like, I have Cole Palmer, so I'm probably riding with him.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, at least the schedule is good, but they haven't been great early on. Florian Wirtz is on here. Jared Bowen's on here. I don't think I need to explain why they're there. I do need to mention the last person on the list.
Okay.
Do you guys remember the last episode we did before game week one?
I do.
Who the highest owned defender was in all of FPL?
I do, in fact, remember that, and it was ridiculous then.
Who was it?
And it's still ridiculous. It's Wan-Bissaka.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And,
for whatever reason.
Oh, look at this. He's on the transfer out list this week.
Surprising.
If only somebody would have told you that you were dumb if you were one of the 3.5 million people that had Aaron Wan-Bissaka on your team going into game week one.
Not that good.
Oh,
team,
he's gonna
not
do
that good.
He's gonna do so good in the DEFCON, Dave. Yeah. Well, he has like 6 DEFCON contributions in 2 games. So
yeah.
What I never understood either.
I told you.
They had terrible matchups.
They had they played Sunderland in game week one. But
we talked about it. It's people are still trying to People are figuring out DEFCON still, I think. I think if you're starting to pay attention, you're starting to see that DEFCON is not as important as what we originally thought. Because these guys had that many DEFCON points in the season, you have to have them on your team to get those points in that game, right? It's not as easy as just, like, oh, Caicedo had 44 DEFCON points, let me get him. Yeah, well, he didn't get those every single game. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have him and play him in every single game to get 44, and you're probably not going to do that. So it's like, you've got to get lucky with those things.
I don't blame anyone who thought certain players were going to get DEFCON, because I think you look at someone like Murillo or Milenkovic,
okay,
you assume
good.
They would have... What?
But they're good players.
Yeah, they're not getting DEFCON either.
No, I agree. I'm saying, but that's, I think the point is, like, if you're going to pick a guy for DEFCON, don't pick a bad player.
I mean, he was... I mean, I would need to check myself. I think he was one of the players who was higher on, just taking last year's data on the DEFCON. To your point, maybe with bench boost, people were targeting Sunderland, and then you slowly move him out of your team. But still, stupid, not defending that. I think DEFCON, we're going to learn a lot this year.
We are.
And I see it on Twitter all the time, or X. It's like, has anyone ever gotten DEFCON yet? It's just the most random players that are getting DEFCON, and like the guys you expect, like Anderson, Bruno, game week one.
Baleba.
They're ending with 11 or 10. Yeah. And I don't know.
I think DEFCON for mids is really... 12 is 12 hard, is hard, man.
It's hard.
That's very hard to get. So.
Yeah, but anyway, if you're one of the, like... He's still 20% owned. So if you're one of the... If you're one of the, like, 2.5 million Dilberts out there that still have him, I'll let you know a good way you can get rid of him later in this episode.
Isak was 30% owned going into game week two. So there's a lot of people that maybe just aren't paying too much attention. Was that it? Was that all we got there?
That's all I got. That's the end of that's the important stuff in
this
the transfers.
Is exciting. We're ready to roll into the first player pick segment of the season, and I finally get to use this button. Finally get to use this button, so that's pretty exciting.
Player picks of the week.
I'm hyped.
I'm definitely more excited than I was 10 seconds ago.
I mean, that's pretty sweet.
If
you
like that, hit the subscribe button and like the video. Leave
the
a comment.
Video.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, let's. I'm going to start it off because it's a player we already mentioned, so let's just get it out of the way. Let's talk about Eze.
Sure. All right,
let's talk about Eze. He's now an Arsenal player. He is about to get thrown into the lineup because Saka and Odegaard are out. I mean, we could talk about his stats. I think let's just start with your guys' thoughts on how he's going to do going in next week, pretty much. Good, bad, indifferent.
I think we're probably going to say the same
thing.
I love the fit
for him. I think he fits right into the way Arsenal play. He's going to get an opportunity now with all the injuries we talked about. But Phil, I have the fixture chart up on my screen.
And, same.
There's a lot of red in those next four games for Arsenal and their matchups. Yeah, it's at Liverpool, Forest and City at home, and then at Newcastle. Pretty rough.
But then...
That's tough.
But then...
But then...
But then...
They play that AAA team in game week 7.
Yeah, I just to remind everyone of the stats for Eze last season. Obviously, Crystal Palace, not as good of a team, but 8 goals, 8 assists, 204 defensive contributions in 34 games. That's an average of 6, so we're not looking at a DEFCON giant here.
No.
For me, and I think for most people, I'll speak for you too, because we talked about it last year. What's so tough about owning him is he had 102 shots and 29 of those were on target. That's 28.43%. Only 9 players posted 90 shots or more. He was one of them, but he was also in the bottom of the on-target percentage. Second lowest in goal percentage, 27.59%. The story of his season was he gets opportunities and he cannot finish them. Semenyo had that same issue. He seems to have figured it out for now.
Yeah,
but I think that's my worry with Eze still.
I think Eze is objectively a better finisher than Semenyo. And I think Martin Odegaard got hurt, so obviously he's not going to play. But man, I just have been wondering if Arsenal needs more from whoever is going to play that position that Odegaard does, because he was amazing two seasons ago. And then last year he was pretty underwhelming. I know he's a good player, no doubt, but I've just felt like they needed something more from whoever's going to play that position, and I feel like that's going to be Eze now. So yeah, I love the opportunity for him, but the schedule is not great.
You don't think he's going to play more on the left, like take the Martinelli spot, because that's where I see him playing, and that's kind of the weak side of the field, kind of with Gakpo on Liverpool. Everyone's going to shift to Saka's side. And I feel like he's just going to have a lot of space on the left side.
I don't know. I think they're going to have to mix in him, Trossard, Martinelli. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where he's going to line up. He could play on the left or right, in my mind.
I mean, they all interchange anyway. Yeah. It's a very fluid formation, but
we'll see.
So the other thing is he's 7.5 million. So when you look at players in that range, I'll say 7.5 million to 8 million. The players that you can do a one-for-one swap, I'll ask you guys, would you rather have Eze or these guys? Because these are the guys you'd have to move off for a one-to-one.
Okay.
Gakpo or Eze?
Gakpo.
Cunha or Eze?
Is this for this week or over the next
month? Let's say you're getting them to keep them for a couple games.
That one's a coin flip. I think I would go... I think I would go Eze.
Gibbs White, Eze.
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 Gordon, Eze. You're going to go Eze. Phil Foden or Eze?
Eze.
Don't ask that one.
And Mbeumo or Eze?
I think it's
a coin flip for... I think Mbeumo and Cunha are just kind of...
All right, that's fine.
That one's Eze for me too, but it's close.
I wasn't trying to put you guys on the spot too much. I just wanted people to see kind of, hey, here's Eze. Here are the guys you trade him for. What do we think, one for one, would you make the switches? Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, just look at for game week 7. I don't think you bring him in before that, but game week 7, it starts to get juicy. So he is a decent option at 7.5 to bring in.
I'm not opposed to using him against Forest or City. But both those games are at home. Forest is a good defensive team, but it doesn't necessarily scare you. And no. City has shown they're gettable defense. And I think it's a good... they play at Liverpool, which is about the worst matchup you can get. I think it's a good week just to see how Arteta is going to use him. And then if you want... I can't imagine his ownership is going to go up that much.
I wouldn't think so.
So maybe it's a little differential, sneaky differential in game week 4. I don't know.
Let's just hope that Liverpool goes up 2-0 and then he has a chance at getting 2 goals. So...
Sure.
Liverpool doesn't know how to hold 2-0 leads.
That's fair.
All right. I think we've talked through Eze as much as we can do at the moment. So, Dave, you sounded like you had someone on your list that you were really eager to get to.
Yeah, my player pick for this week is Matheus Cunha.
Homer.
Let's not talk about that United performance against Fulham, because I felt like this was last season all over again. But, man, he could have scored two or three goals in like 10 minutes. I mean, he had the first chance he created himself and hit the post, the breakaway off the ridiculous pass from Bayindir, which he probably should have scored on. He's been their best attacker through the first couple games. I know, save your thoughts on the coach and formation, but they're due to breakthrough. And I think this is the week they do it at home against Burnley. Like I said, he's gotten some chances. He's all over the field for them. So for this week, I think he breaks through and at least scores a goal.
I'm going to need him to, because I projected 18 goals for him this season. So I'm going to need this man to start finishing.
Yeah, I don't know how United is going to be as a whole. They've had one good performance and one terrible one.
They're so close, though. I just feel like they're so close to getting over that hump.
The hump of what?
The hump of
scoring?
The hump of averageness. Like, they're just so average, but like, you don't want to play against them, but you're okay like playing against them at the same time. It's just one of those teams where it's like Crystal Palace. Like, I'm not afraid of Crystal Palace. I don't really want to play Crystal Palace. They're kind of good. Like, that's me and you right now, and they should be better than that. They should be a little hot. They should be in that Newcastle range, if my opinion. They should be feared like Newcastle.
Yeah, so. I mean, they should just be feared in general. And yeah. I don't think anyone is right now. But
yeah.
I think that front line has too much talent, whether or not Sesko's on the field from the start, to not score three games in a row. And I think this is the week for him.
All right. I like that. Can I pull us to a team that I think we're all going to have opinions on?
Yeah.
Because they might be the best looking team in the EPL right now. And give Phil all the credit in the world. He said it, what, 3-4 weeks ago, that you need to watch out for this team.
The hell did I say?
We got to talk about...
I don't remember what you said.
We got to talk about Spurs.
I say a lot
we
of gotta dumb stuff.
We got to talk about Spurs. We got to talk about Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, 4 weeks ago, first he said Van de Ven is a guy you need to look at getting. And then he talked about how Frank is all about defensive organization. Well, if you didn't believe it before Man City, you believe it now. This team's legit, and I think we need to talk about multiple of their players, because Dave, can you have the schedule there? Can you read up until week 12? Read that schedule.
Mm-hmm. Bournemouth at home, West Ham away, Brighton away, Wolves at home, Leeds away, Villa at home, Everton away, then Chelsea, United, and Arsenal. That starts in game week 10, the Chelsea game. So their next like 7 weeks are great.
And it's a team that looks really good. So where do we want to start in the back line?
Yeah.
Because there are three players that I think are worth getting.
Mm. Oh, yeah. At least.
Okay.
I think we've kind of talked a lot about Van de Ven. I don't know if we need to keep talking about him. 4.5 million midfielder. He's 28% owned, I think. So he is a very highly owned defender. So let's talk about the other two, at least in my mind. One of them is 1.6% owned. One of them is 4% owned. That is Spence and Romero. Romero's 5 million. Spence is 4.5 million. I took a look at the heat map of Spence. He is getting forward a lot on that left side.
Yeah.
He, to me, I'm very, like, I have Van de Ven, so I'm not obviously going to make that switch and waste a transfer. But if you don't have either of them, like, you guys tell me what you think. I would rather have Spence than Van de Ven right now. That's just me with the ownership and the fact that he's pushing forward. What say you?
I would say that Van de Ven could already have a goal or two. He's such a threat on corners and set pieces. So I still feel strong about Van de Ven, not only clean sheet, but being able to get attacking returns here and there. I mean, Spence is a really good option, but I think I'd pick Van de Ven over him right now, just because I think Van de Ven's a staple of their back line, and he's a big threat.
Yeah,
I don't hate the idea, though.
Yeah,
like, he's 1% owned. They all have all four of them of their back line have 12 or 13 points.
Yeah, well, they all have two shutouts.
Romero got DEFCON this week as well.
Yeah,
that's the reason to look at them. Yeah,
they're all good options. Like, Pedro Porro.
I was going to say, is Porro worth going for? Porro, but he's 5.5.
That's what I'm saying. He's so much higher than the other guys. It just, to me, yeah. why do it? Even Romero at 5, it's like, how much more do you get from Romero versus just the 4.5 guys? Maybe it's DEFCON, right? He got the DEFCON points, but he almost is like priced out, even though he is as good as those guys. Like, he's almost priced out because why am I going to spend Nib if I'm playing for shutouts anyways?
But he has legitimate attacking returns.
He does.
He's one of the best one of the best defenders in FPL for attacking returns. Who? So Porro.
Oh, Pedro Porro.
Talking about Romero,
which is why he's expensive. So yeah, I mean, that's all four. They're great all good options. Like, I think all three of us right now are playing the cheap defender game, so probably why we're not going to spend up, but, like, we needed to mention all four of these guys. Like, if you don't have one, you got to get one of those four on your team.
Agreed.
But if you're someone who had Frimpong, you're someone who had Aiyanori, you can drop to a Porro, still keep that offensive threat, especially with their matchups, and you're saving 5 million or 0.5 million, so there is opportunity to kind of leverage those injuries to squeeze him in and not feel bad about the price.
Absolutely. Let's push up the field a little bit and let's talk about Kudus. Dave, I'm going to give that to you because I know you mentioned him before. So, Kudus, thoughts?
He'd be my, if you're doing a one-for-one swap for Palmer or Saka, he'd be probably the first guy I'd take.
Interesting.
Like him, Semenyo, I mentioned Cunha. I like Illiman and Ndai too. They play Wolves this week, Everton.
Yeah, he scored a goal.
But yeah, Kudus, I think Kudus has looked really good. They didn't have the ball a ton against City, so no attacking returns, but I think he is also due to break through for them. And so I just said, like, he's the number one guy I would target if you have Saka or Palmer, but I want to throw something else out there if we have a second. If you have two transfers, I think this is a really nice opportunity for you to not only like replace Saka and Palmer with somebody really good, but fix your back line. Because we all started the season with one or many 4.0 defenders.
Kanza.
Joe Rodon, Maxime Estevez, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, De Kuyper from Brighton. And so like Maxime Estevez is the highest owned one. He's 19%. So I'll use him as an example. They play United, Liverpool, Forest, and City. Really bad. Can't use them. So if you have to drop Saka or Palmer, buy Kudus, save $3.5 million, and then this is your opportunity to drop one of those 4.0 defenders that you can't use now and go up to a Porro, or even don't even go up that far. Just go to one of the Spurs defenders.
Yeah.
So if you have two transfers, I think that is the way to go to kind of fix your roster. You could also do it, too, with a forward position if you're one of the people I yelled at for having Mark Gooey on your team. Or, like...
thanks for your waste of space.
Or if you have, like, Beto or Strand Larsen. Use this opportunity and the money you're going to save. Fulkrug. Use this opportunity and the money you're going to save. Drop Palmer or Saka in that forward and get Kudus and, like, Gyökeres, Ekitike, João Pedro. And you can do a lot of good for your roster right now.
All right, well, let's talk about his teammate, though, before we move on, because this guy, you got to give me $1 million, and I wouldn't have thought I'd be talking about Brendan Johnson before game week 3. Just ridiculous. I mean, he's got 4 shots in 2 games, 2 on net, 2 goals.
It's efficiency, Sean.
Yeah, last season he averaged 1.6 shots a game. He's already averaging 2 shots a game. Of course, it's 2 games in, so whatever. That's on pace for 66 shots. He doesn't get the full 90, not now. He's in that like 70 to 80 range, which isn't bad.
That's fine.
We take 70 to 80, but, you know, Dave said the schedule, amazing. Either he or Kudus, you know, are going to score goals. I know Richarlison and Solanke are there, but one of these two guys in the mid is going to get goals and or assists over this next run. I kind of like him. He had 11 goals and 6 assists last year.
Yeah.
Played in less games in the mids who finished ahead of him. Like, he played 33 games. Like, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather have him than Kudus. He just seems like he's got something right now. He's got some juice in him. I don't know. It's a feel thing right now.
No, that's it just what
feels
I'm
like. He's got some juice.
What I'm worried about is I think Frank's kind of pissed at him.
Explain.
He got caught out of position a few times and didn't really track back. And then he kind of just lazied around on some opportunities on fast breaks, and he kind of ruined a counterattack to give City the, I think then would be the second goal, or maybe, or Spurs the second goal. He looked a little pissed. I'm not saying he's going to sub him off or like change anything with his formation, but I do think there's a level of maturity that Brendan Johnson still needs to get to.
That's fair.
And that on top of the $7 million is my only concern. Like, if you had to give me Brendan Johnson for $7 million or Semenyo for now $7.2 million, I think it's a no-brainer to go with Semenyo. So I don't know. I'm surprised he said $7 million. We said it at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that just seems a little high. And I know he scored in each game, so now it's a bad time to say it, but it just feels a little weird. I don't know.
He definitely flew under the radar because a lot of people were pumped about Kudus after that transfer, and rightfully so. Yeah, I don't think his position's under threat until Kulusevski comes back, but he's, I mean, if you want a differential, why not take one of the main attacking threats on one of the couple best teams in the league right now with the best schedule?
Yeah,
I'm interested. I don't hate it.
I don't know if I can afford to do it with one free transfer, knowing I have other issues, but like, if your team's kind of set and you're just looking for like a little change up, a little differential,
he's
top of the list right now for me. Phil.
It's a good call.
Phil, anyone on your agenda over there that you're just itching to talk about?
I'm in shambles, so
I think okay.
I need to fix like seven positions, so I have so many players floating around in my head.
I don't know. Okay. Well,
I don't think I can give much.
That's fine.
Good information. You pretty much gave us all of Spurs as your pick.
That's true.
Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
If you 26% of people still have Florian Wirtz, are you dropping Florian Wirtz?
Yes. Would have never picked
him up. So we can go in there. I have more players I would say don't pick up or drop than recommend.
Are you dropping Florian Wirtz for Brennan Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should people do that?
But I was also never a believer in Wirtz from an FPL standpoint. He's one of the best players on that team. You see it every game. He's just not getting the opportunities with the players around him. He's just kind of facilitating.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that is a good way to describe it.
He's not the same player as Rodri, but he's giving me Rodri vibes right now. Where I just don't know, like FPL wise, is he going to be relevant enough with the current roster with so many guys around him? So I would move off him. That's just me though. Maybe gets a goal next week, but I don't think he's gonna just start ripping off goals and assists anytime soon. That's just my personal opinion.
Perhaps we're just seeing what we said about some of these new guys, that there is always a risk of how they're gonna adapt to the Premier League, how they're gonna fit in with the new team, and maybe we're just seeing that play out with him for right now.
It might take time. Again, I said, you know, on Leverkusen, he was the guy. The ball ran through him. He made the plays. He got the shots. Like, that's how the team ran. This is not that team anymore. Yeah, they need him, but if he comes off the field, they can still have success. So he's not the guy right now.
Yeah.
And it's showing, because a guy like Salah may not give him the ball when he's open. He may turn it in left and shoot it or cross it over to Gakpo, right? He doesn't feel like he needs to give it to Wirtz. So
I think his ownership is probably going to stay high, because I think most people are solving the
he's a stud,
so. Trying to solve the Palmer Saka issue right now, and they get Burnley and Everton coming up. So
I mean, he's a stud. Always a chance for him to
score.
But
if you wanted to sell him for Kudus or Brendan Johnson, I don't think you're crazy.
I just think the schedule and the Tottenham looks like they're going to be a top five team if they play like that over the course of the season. Whether they do or not, I don't know, but if that team comes and shows up for 75% of the season, like, they're going to be way up the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, we always say don't be reactionary.
Sure.
It's game week two.
Yep. Like, Furs could easily figure it out. He could easily figure out. For me, it's less figuring it out, and it's more the people around him.
The thing. I'm considering dropping him, not because of him. He's going to figure it out.
He looks fantastic.
Well,
He's made some good plays. I think he looks good.
I just think Liverpool is in gelling up top, and they don't have the same pace and like kind of pressure that they've had other years.
Yeah.
So like, they're kind of just scoring off of random situations, not necessarily building it up, getting those like overlapping runs, pass. That's where I thought he was going to score, is a lot of those overlapping runs. and then passing the ball back, and he comes on that second, like, you know, wave of players and gets those out of the box, like outside of the box shots, or, you know, cut back passes and he taps it in, and they're just not getting any of that.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen a single overlapping run where then they cross it back and, like, him or Zaba Sly, or I guess Gravenbeck, he scored today, but there's just no plays like that. So that's why I feel like it's hard to keep him just because of how Liverpool's playing.
Yeah. All right. Well, does anyone have a quick player without giving a lot of facts that they want to rip out before we end this episode? Anyone on your mind? I have one if anyone else has one.
No, far away.
Far away.
The only guy I would say, if you're feeling really crazy, you really want to gamble, and you're like, I need all the differential, Keane this week for Everton against Wolves. Wolves have the least amount of shots in the Premier League so far, 15, 4 on net. Jordan Pickford is a freak. Penalty save, he was outrageous in that game, really good. So, very high chance at a shutout if you're looking for a 4.5 cheap defender. But he's a one-week rental, so don't think you're going to get him and keep him. So if you want to waste a transfer, not waste, we're going to use a transfer on a one-week guy, maybe get 6 points out of it.
Free hit?
It's or a free hit. That is a good thought because Everton very well may be getting a shutout. I think Wolves is a relegation team this year. I think we said that before the season started, and it's proven to be true. They lost their two best players. So.
Yeah.
Okay. That's...
Is that it?
I think that's it. We're around that 40-minute mark. That's the sweet spot.
Sad it's over.
Sad. We'll be back.
Glad it happened.
Don't worry. We'll get angry again this weekend, and we'll do it all over again.
Sure will.
It'll be great. It'll be great. All right. Yes, if you're out there and you want to listen to us, find us on Spotify down below. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. Check out our socials, Instagram, X. We post a lot of things out there. We post our teams after the week. So if you want to see all of our teams and how we finish, you can see that on Instagram. If you want to see our team before the week, you can see that. If you want to see some of our better picks, you can see that. So, you know, we put shorts out, all that good stuff. So follow us on our socials. And we will be back same time, same place next week, giving you the rundown on Game Week 3. And I do believe we're going to try and do a chip strategy episodes next week, correct?
Stay tuned. Stay correct. Tuned.
That'll be an all-encompassing how to use your chips in the first half of the season.
Do watch.
Breakdown. So look out for that. And with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.